ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible news. Something that, yeah, I definitely won't take for granted. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to lead the boys, and being lucky enough to play in the last World Cup, I think I've learned a lot off Hugh Wibigan, who is obviously a World Cup winning captain, so hopefully I can take some of his stuff and bring it into our team.
Yeah, he's an incredibly talented player, Hugh Wibigan. As part of that 2024 final where you defeated India, you entered that World Cup a little bit differently. You entered as a reserve player, and then you ended up playing such a big role as a 17-year-old. You made 49 in the semi-final against Pakistan and unbeaten 46 in the final. I guess your entry to this World Cup is very, very different. Do you feel like you're going to be more prepared for this next campaign, given you're captaining the side and you're going in knowing you'll be featuring?
Yeah, definitely. But I do feel like last time around, it was probably good that I almost came in a bit late, and as a reserve player, I didn't really have any expectations on myself. I was just literally going out there trying to do whatever the team needed, and I was lucky enough to be a part of that winning campaign, and it was really cool. But definitely this time around, I'll probably have a bigger role to play, which I'm looking forward to the challenge of that.
You're the only player who was in that 2024 final that is in this current under-19 side for the next World Cup. Your recent preparation, a 3-0 loss in the one-day series to India in September, not ideal results-wise, but did you gain a lot out of that and a lot of things to learn going forward?
Yeah, I actually missed those games because I was a part of the Sheffield Shield stuff, but I think the boys took plenty out of it, and the coaching staff sort of also realised how explosive the game's being played now. I think India went out there and smacked them with the bat and had a couple of really good quicks. So, yeah, I think the boys and the coaches definitely took plenty out of it, and I think we've picked our squad for the World Cup based off how those games were played.
The squad is coached by Tim Nielsen, who's obviously got an incredible amount of experience coaching the side. How have you found working with Tim?
Yeah, Tim's been awesome. I've been in constant communication with him over the phone. I actually haven't met him in person yet, but it's been really good to sort of understand how he works. He's pretty old school, and I think that works well with a group of young blokes who are still finding their way. So, yeah, really looking forward to the tournament, and yeah, sure, Tim will be a great leader for us.
When you're playing for Victoria or playing for the Melbourne Renegades, it's a little different, I guess, because every side you go up against, you have a fair indication of the skill sets of the players on the other side to you. I guess you have more things on tape, you have more information on them, players have been there for a lot longer. With an under-19 World Cup, squads change so much over the course of 12 months. So does that make it difficult trying to prepare for what you're up against when you head into a World Cup?
In one way, yes, you could say that, but I also think it's almost good that everyone can just control what they want to control, and I guess it simplifies how you practice before games and how you set yourselves up. So I think it can work both ways. You're not worried so much about what the other team are doing, but you're just focusing on what you can control as individuals.
As a young captain and getting the chance to captain your nation, who have you lent on around you so far for a bit of advice on captaining? Is that someone like a Will Sutherland that you look to in your domestic formats and kind of lean on him and try to take some tips and tricks from the way he goes about it?
Yeah, 100%. I'm pretty lucky to have a lot of really good leaders around me. I've got, Will Sutherland, captain of the Renegades in Victoria. He's a great role model to follow, and also when he's sort of resting or got Aussie A commitments, we've got Peter Hanscom as well, who's, his record speaks for himself. So, very lucky there. And then also spoke with Hugh Wibigan at the Prime Minister's 11 game and sort of got my head around what it all involves. And, I'm feeling confident that hopefully I can lead the boys to the best of my ability.
speaking to Australian Under-19 World Cup captain Ollie Peake, who will lead the side in January when they head over to take on that World Cup challenge. Also a Melbourne Renegade as well. Before I get on to the Renegades, Ollie, we always see players, young players especially, get taken away on tours for experience and taken with the Australian setup to see how things work. What is the real takeaway, though, for a player? What do you get out of being around the national setup on an away trip?
Yeah, that was pretty incredible going to Sri Lanka with the test squad in January and February of this year, actually. I took away heaps of things, but probably the main one is just seeing how they go about it. I don't know, like, they're just normal people. You realise that they're just good fellas who are really good at cricket, and it probably makes it a bit less of a wow moment when you see them again. It's been really good to sort of cross paths with a lot of them in Shield cricket now this year, and I learned a lot about playing spin bowling and sort of trying to make the good days into great days, which is something that Travis Head's done really well this series. He's made 200s and a few low scores, but those low scores always happen. And then, when you get in, you want to try and make them into big hundreds. And, it was just really good to learn the way that they go about things and also realise that they do a lot of similar things to what we do at state level and stuff like that. They're just a little bit better and a bit more experienced. So, it's sort of recognising that, yes, they're incredible players, but everything's not too far away.
Ollie, in terms of your exposure, I guess, you're getting into that point now where you are starting to get a lot of media coverage. You're starting to get a lot more attention, and people are always throwing your name up as someone that will be in this Australian test side in the coming years. You've seen teammates and people you know go through that already, and notably Sam Constance, who you've played with at Oz Under 19 level. How do you deal with all that kind of attention and that pressure that comes with it? Is that something you just try and block out, or do you try and harness that as well and use it to motivate you to, I guess, live up to some of the expectations that people are putting on you with such young talent?
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a fine line, isn't it? Like with Sam, he was on top of the world about this time last year and for the months following, and then it seemed like every time he missed out with the bat, he was copping criticism from all angles, so... I think it is. It's nice to sort of be spoken about and be in the conversation about the future and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a bit different once it sort of flips to being negative, I think. So I'm still sort of in the infancy of that, and most of it's positive because people don't really know me. But I'm sure it's not too far away. But it's I guess it's something that everyone has to deal with. I think for me, being in a smallish town growing up in Geelong, I've sort of had exposure to that early and tried to sort of not read into it too much because even though a lot of it is positive, the negative stuff's gonna come eventually. And it's probably just getting into good habits about not sort of buying into everything that they all say.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that Geelong connection in just a moment. I did want to ask, though, you have been playing Sheffield Shield cricket for Victoria early in this season. You've had a couple nice battles out there in the middle. I did listen to you speaking on a podcast, kind of talking about your experience of going out there as a young player and facing the likes of Mitchell Starc and there's Josh Hazlewood and Nathan Lyon when you took on New South Wales. You obviously have been around them a little bit, but what was it like to get a taste of facing pretty much the Australian bowling lineup?
Yeah, well, to be honest, Mitch, I wasn't out there for too long that game. I had a bit of a stinker, but... just to share the field with all those guys and Steve Smith whilst he was batting. Sam Constance as well. It was a pretty star-studded lineup, and for us to get the job done as the Vics pretty comfortably in the end was incredible and something that's given us a lot of belief for the remainder of this season. But, yeah, on facing Starkey, it was pretty cool. I came in after Campbell Calloway got a really good fighting 50, and in the lead-up to him getting out, he was getting peppered a bit by Starkey, and I was sitting on the sidelines like, geez, if he's copying him, I'm not sure how I'm going to go. But, yeah, I probably only faced five balls or something in that first innings and hit a cut shot straight to gully. But, yeah, I think people just don't realise the extra energy that he creates off the wicket and how strong he is. Like, the speed gun might say 143 or however fast he's bowling, but the ball hits the bat so heavily, and yeah, he's so skillful as well. He's got that wobble seam ball and can swing it away from the lefties as well. So yeah, he was very tough matchup.
I know he got you out in the first innings of that match, but if it's any consolation out watching what he's been doing in this Ashes series, might make you feel a little bit better thinking, well, you know what, he's getting the best players in the world out pretty comfortably at the moment as well. So he's in some pretty good form. You mentioned Geelong, Ollie. Your first game down in Geelong, you performed really, really well. You made 57 with the bat, got a win over the Heats, and you're going to look to continue that form against Hobart, taking on the reigning champs next. Firstly, though, just reflecting on that Big Bash, that second game, just your second game of Big Bash, the first game of the season in Geelong. Now you're a little bit removed from it. How cool was it to go out there and, I guess, perform in front of a lot of family and friends?
Yeah, no, that's spot on. It was so awesome to, play decently well in front of heaps of people who came there. Mum was bugging everyone to try and get there, and she was getting our media manager and the likes to send her tickets to give out to people. So I knew that there were heaps of people there, and I was really happy that I could get in the partnership with Tim Seifert and then just log a few at the end, which was great fun.
Yeah, you seem to gel really well with Tim Seifert there. How did you find batting with him out of the middle? It looks like you were cruising along nicely.
Yeah, he's very relaxed, and I think that sort of suits the way that I like to go about things as well. And I just absolutely loved it. He was hitting the ball so clean, and it really simplified how I had to sort of play at the start of my innings. And I think that's always the hardest time at the start of your innings. So when you can sort of almost play tippity and hit it and run with him hitting sixes and fours up the other end and still getting 15 off the over, it's pretty good.
The Renegades, they're hosting a Take the Turf party after the game. I'm not sure if you're aware, where some fans get a chance to actually take a slice of the playing turf. If you score runs again, are you thinking you might just steal a bit of the home ground turf as well and take it home or give it to the family and friends?
I might have to. Hey, it might be good luck, the Geelong turf. I think, it's somewhere where I've always headed down. I used to live a kilometre down the road and watch all the Geelong Cats home games in the AFL season. So, yeah, I've been going there for years, and it was awesome to sort of play on that turf on Monday.
Is that one where you're playing in a Big Bash game? It's a little rowdier. The crowd's a little louder. Are you out there when you're in the field more than you're batting, because you're a bit further away? But in the field when you're running around, are you kind of hearing mates and friends and family yell out, and you're kind of trying to spot people in the crowd? Is there much coming from the family and friends contingent?
Where I started fielding in the second innings, I walked straight over to deep backward square leg on the red hickey stand side, and that's where we used to sit to watch the footy. And I turned around, and my brother and all of his mates were sitting there, and they were yelling out heaps of stuff, but I was on the mic, so I couldn't really hear any of it because I had the earpiece in. But yeah, it was a bit of a coincidence that I literally turned around and my brother and all of his best mates were sitting right there.
You might just have to take a fake earpiece every time you field on the boundary around the friends and the family, and you can just use the excuse of not listening to the friendly banter that's going on and just pretend you're on the mic every game. That might help you out. Good luck against the Hurricanes, a massive challenge against the reigning champions. Good luck in the Under-19 World Cup as well, leading the side there. Hopefully you can bring back the ultimate success, and good luck as well for the rest of the domestic season, Sheffield Shield and One Day Cricket as well. We appreciate your time, Ollie.
Thanks heaps, Mitch. Have a good one.